Poslušate SBS Slovenije.
Poslušate slovensko, da na radiju SBS širimo Avstralijo in po svetu. Naslednja gostja bo nadaljevala s temo, ki smo jo predtem predstavili, ko smo se ravno pogovarjali s Štefanom Šernekom in sicer o spremembah odbora Slovenskega društva Sydney. Na drugi strani telefonske zveze je predstavnica odbora nova tajnica in bo povedala malo več, kdo so ti novi člani in kako zgleda tudi nadaljnja pot. Najprej seveda lepo pozdravljeni na slovenski vdaji SBS radija vsem znana aktivna delavka v slovenski skupnosti v Sydney Olga Lah.
Ja, lepo pozdravljeni, no. Greetings to everyone, Tanja, to you and to your listeners.
Najprej seveda vam čestitamo, za, da ste to prevzeli to odgovorno mesto. Razen vas imate tudi štiri novih članov, ki so se pridružili odboru. Kdo so?
Ja, veš kaj, Tanja je po angliško govorila. Bom začela z drugo informacijo ta prvo, kako smo prišli do tega. I will do it in English if you don't mind, Tanja. I hope your listeners will understand what I'm saying, and I'll try to speak clearly. Tanya, you know, our world is facing challenges that we didn't ever dream would happen. COVID-19 epidemic is an example of this, as you know. Well, unfortunately, also in the Slovene Association Sydney, we are facing challenges that I think nobody imagined we would face decades ago. The problems that most ethnic clubs are having, we are experiencing in our club. Yes, we know that there, you know, the attendance is falling because of the aging membership, and we know that maybe there is a lack of interest of the younger generations. But these are all predictable problems. Some problems have arisen that weren't as predictable. And perhaps I can lead into the new committee membership by first stating how we got to this situation that we are in. Tanya, about 3 weeks ago, I think it all came to a head. On the 15th of March, Mr. Stefan Šernek, the president, and Lynn Pushenyak, the secretary, approached Mr. Anthony Tomagin, who I think is well known, and Mr. Alfred Brezhnik, very well known in the community, and both in their capacity as private members. They approached them for advice and help. The club has been having some problems, and perhaps they needed some advice in finding solutions to those problems. So an extraordinary committee meeting was called for the following week, the 22nd of March. My husband, Jorge, and I were also invited to this meeting. At this meeting, Mr. Šernek announced that he would or could not no longer be fulfilling the role of president. Following this, a spill motion was passed, and it resulted in the new offices, Tanya. And I might introduce those to you. We have Mr. Anthony Tomagin as the new club president. I might say we feel very fortunate to have him serve. Jorge Lach is the new vice president. Mark Stariha is the new treasurer and a very talented addition to the committee. Myself, Olga Lach, as secretary, and I am ably assisted by long-time director Lynn Pushenyak. I am also pleased to announce that Mr. Alfred Brezhnik has joined the other directors of the club. And these other directors include Tatiana Resnik, Zora Johnson, Frank Lorbar, Helena Gerich, and Stefan and Anna Šernek. I think it will be a very productive committee.
And I guess from that perspective, you know, congratulations obviously to Anthony and to all of you that have joined that committee. It looks like it'll be a very productive one. Why have you joined personally? Why have you joined this committee now as secretary?
Well, that's an interesting question, Tanya. Well, I suppose I can approach this by maybe speaking from the heart. Tanya, I am the daughter of parents who were one of the founders of Slovensko Društvo. As a young child and into adulthood, I personally witnessed, as far back as the early 1960s, what a productive people Slovenians are. I guess in many ways, I feel that I'm following in the legacy of those early founders. I need to take responsibility. If there's no one else who would like to take that responsibility on, I feel I need to take the responsibility to help promote and create maybe a path for the future for the club. These wonderful, productive Slovenian people who built the club from virtually nothing. I am in awe of the many committees over many decades that volunteered their time, you know, their effort, their energy for the prosperity and promotion of the whole Slovenian community. And in many ways, I'm humbled to recall how selfless and hardworking they all were. I want to especially, I suppose, commend the work of past presidents, leaders, who for over six decades led the way into the club's future. Why did I join as a secretary? Why did I join this committee? I think to continue the work of those pioneers. We need to ensure that the club is there for future generations. And perhaps I can play a small part in that. You know, sadly, many of those pioneers are no longer with us. We know Mr. Stefan Czernek was a long-time president, who I believe acted in what he thought was in the best interest of the club and members. He was a persistent and independent leader, and we have to acknowledge how much time was devoted to the club by Stefan and his wife Anna. They travelled long distances from home to fulfil duties in the club. I think both are very well known in the Slovenian community.
You mentioned that obviously it's come to a particular point where you joined the committee, have gone to that point. We've heard just earlier from Stefan Czernek that, you know, obviously we have the current situation, the coronavirus, and the club is closed like all other clubs around New South Wales and Australia at the moment. Yes. And we heard from him earlier that that there's probably $60,000 to $70,000 in the bank at the moment from that perspective.
That's right.
So I guess what's the current situation and current thinking, and, okay. and how do we sort of move forward from here?
Well, Tanya, I might add that the situation is quite, to us anyway, quite obviously a dire one. In fact, we formed a crisis committee, which is made up of all the officers in the committee. It's not the general committee. We call ourselves the crisis committee, and they are all the office bearers. And although the general committee of the club has not met because the club is closed, the crisis committee has been very active because regardless of the many decades of good work, the club has hit what we think is a real bump in the road to progress. I think the club's biggest problem has arisen from a contractual lease entered into 8 years ago with a lessee who the community was told was going to build a restaurant attached to the club. This, unfortunately, was not, and it's still not the case. Look, instead of that, we find that a large function wedding venue has been built, but still no restaurant. I think misinformation consistently circulated among members for many years, and it seemed whenever we asked questions, no one seemed to know what was really happening. I think those who have visited the premises in the last 8 years need no explanation or a description, I think, of how our Slovenian club has changed its character, how the ambience has changed, how the appearance of the club has changed. It seems to have been taken over by the development of our lessee. So the crisis committee has been busy. It's trying to establish under whose authority such development proceeded. Did Slovensko Društvo authorise the many variations to the original plans to council? We, at this stage, do not have that clarification yet, but we are certainly seeking it. Tanya, you were a visitor of the club when you were younger. My children frequented very often. We all have held this club as our club, our Slovenian club. But we all have noticed that there have been so many changes. The club has lost its restaurant. This is a place where members were able to celebrate family functions. We've lost our kitchen. We've lost the children's playground. We've lost the tennis courts. We've lost, when you walk into the hall, you will note it's pure darkness because we've lost the natural light in the hall because of the buildings that are surrounding it. All these areas were overtaken or lost by the new development that has been constructed by the lessee. I personally hear members expressing disappointment and sometimes shock at what is happening at the club. there may have been good intentions, but I think this lease agreement was ill-advised. I would say that the club did get some poor legal advice leading up to that agreement. I know that offers for free and alternative legal advice were made by Mr. Tomagin, but they were refused. I just want to describe to the listeners and to our members what this lease looks like. This lease appears when we present it to our legal side. The lease, we are told, is watertight. In other words, we cannot get out of it. But the biggest shock is that this lease is effective till 2048. Yes, after this, the lease ceases and the function centre becomes the club's, under the club's ownership fully, completely. But how many of us will be here to witness this? I know I won't be. So at this point in time, it's so far into the future that I cannot see the benefits of it. And I must state now that financially the club appears to me to be on the crest of a big hole. For a club to only have $60,000 in its account at any time is a very dangerous situation. For example, if Mr. Chernik tells us that every time the hall is open for event, we lose a significant amount of money. I think it's something like $1,500 just by having one dance. The lease agreement provides for rent to be paid by the lessee. Yes, the amount sounds quite generous, but real estate professionals tell us it is nowhere near market value for rent. And unbelievably, there is no provision for CPI increases over the whole life of the lease. Prospects don't appear to be ones that are flourishing. The prospects are not flourishing. And there is, I think, room for concern.
So it sounds like you're doing a lot of research and understanding what the current situation is.
That's our job, yes. Yeah. That's what the crisis committee is working on. You have no idea. We are supposed to be in self-isolation, and we are doing so much work, just trying to work our way through all the paperwork. And the more we look at it, the more we see a precipice in front of us. Tanya, I have to say this. I don't want to build a picture that is completely dim, because there is hope for the future. Most definitely, there is hope for the future. But we need to find out what that pathway will be. The crisis committee has brainstormed, if you like, a variety of options. Some of those options will be more acceptable than others, I understand that. But I can say to you that no decisions will be made without the approval of the members at an AGM or an extraordinary general meeting. You can be assured of this. Members, you can be assured that no decision will ever be made that is that important without full approval of its members. You know, the members will decide which option is best and which path we should take into the future. We are doing research. We are going to present the information when we have it, and the members will be the ones who will decide.
I expect that won't be anytime soon, given the current climate of the coronavirus.
Tanya, realistically, I heard on the radio yesterday that it will be a gradual release of restrictions, but clubs will be at the bottom of the list. Now, if that's true, we can anticipate that it will be several months before the clubs can reopen. And therefore, to organise an AGM, which we want to do as soon as possible, as soon as we have options and some real information to give to our members, we want an AGM as soon as possible. But, our hands are tied behind our back with the situation and the COVID-19 epidemic. But can I just pacify members? Members will soon, if not already, have received some information in the mail. They will see some options. These may not be all the options, but they are the options that at this stage we are looking at. Some will be good options, some we will discard quickly. But when you get this information, your responses will be most welcome and helpful to the committee. But I will say this, to vote at what will be a very important AGM, you will need to be a financial member of the club. those in arrears will not be given a vote. But I want everyone to rest assured that members will receive information about how they can renew and apply for new membership as soon as is possible, bearing in mind that the club is closed and the general committee meetings are not taking place as yet. As soon as we're able to provide that information, and it will be with enough time leading up to an AGM, you can be sure that we will do our best for you.
So we'll obviously keep lookout for the post if we haven't already received that, obviously, yes, in the coming days, and understand what the options are, and then wait until we can obviously all get together and then discuss what we're going to do going forward.
And as I said, some of those options you will say, no way. And some of those options may sound attractive. We at this stage have no idea of which way it's going to go, because we are in the process of speaking to real estate agents, surveyors, valuers, talking to a legal team, talking to the auditors. So we have so much information still coming in. We don't pretend to have any at this time.
Okay, sounds like there's a lot of work still to be done ahead. We obviously wish you all the best in terms of everything that's still to come, and look forward to seeing what these options are for the future of Slovenian Association Sydney.
I wonder if I can just conclude. There is something that I want to say to all our listeners, and certainly to our members generally. We know that community and membership of Slovenian clubs all over Australia have the challenge of attendance. You know, ageing, as I said before, ageing populations means that activities are changing and perhaps even diminishing. And although there are changes within our Slovenian community and the age of our members, Australia and indeed the world is also facing a lot of changes. But there is one thing that I will always believe in, one thing that is constant. Look, I think our Slovenian people are very strong, are very hardworking, and are proud Slovenians. We love our Slovenian culture, and we want to promote it in its aspects. We want to spread the word. We want the best for the future of our Slovenian generations. And those intentions need to go from generation to generation. We need to inspire our younger people. I don't know what the recipe for that is, Tanya, but this you need to have a goal. You need to have a direction that you want to travel in. And our direction is to inspire the new generation to build a club that they will be proud to be a member of. What past and present volunteers in our Slovenian community have learned, two key things, I think, that cooperation and goodwill are the keys to a brighter future. Without these, you only have conflict and discontent. Look, yes, we may have different opinions. We may have different views. Look, but that's okay, Tanya. We don't shy away from different opinions. But I think it's important that we debate and we show mutual respect to each other. Because you think differently than I do is not the problem. Let's debate with mutual respect. I think we need to work together to find the right solutions for our future.
Well said, and that's obviously the backbone of a democracy in Australia, particularly in a multicultural Australia. And like I said, we hope that obviously we find the right solution for that the members choose in the coming months, let's say sometime this year, once we have the clubs reopened again. It's been more than 60 plus years already, and we want to make sure we leave it in good stead for the next generations.
Yes. Just one other thing I would like to say before we finish. It is important, though, when we do have meetings, that when we do vote on a situation or when we do vote on an aspect, that it is respected also. I know that in the AGM in 2017, members voted unanimously that no future development would take place without their approval. Now, that was passed unanimously, but it appears it was ignored. So that mutual respect I'm talking about not only goes in the face of different viewpoints and different ideas, it also the responsibility of the leadership in the club. We need to listen to our members and we need to act upon what they require, what they want.
Sounds like a very positive attitude to have, obviously, to make sure we can continue this. And we wish you and all the new members and the whole committee, of not just the crisis committee, but the whole committee well during this particular time. And we will hear from you, and hopefully we'll talk to the new president, Anthony Tomagin, next time as well.
Thank you very much, Tanya, for the opportunity to talk to the members and to your listeners. Thank you.
Želite slišati sorodne zgodbe? Prisluhnite jim preko Apple ali Google podcasta, preko aplikacije Spotify ali kjerkoli drugje.